if you're getting ready to build the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to want some guidelines. So quote number three, if the generation is poor, you can build the Mikdash out of tin. If they become wealthy, they should make it out of gold.
What do you mean tin? They don't mean literally tin.
Metal.
Metal.
Okay. He uses the word bedil.
Okay.
So I translated it literally.
Okay.
Based on the pasuk in Matos. Cheap metal. It is proper to make the Mikdash as beautiful as possible, just like anything of a religious nature. We try to make it as beautiful as possible.
Does it mean the modern technology cannot be used? Modern material, concrete and glass?
I can't say that it can't. I don't know. We don't have a clear reason to say that it can't be. It doesn't seem that the Rambam considered the type of building material to be critical. In the Mishkan, it was critical. Everything that was gold had to be gold. It was symbolic. Everything matched. Rav Sham Shmuel Feil Hirsch has long essays about why they used purple, blue, red in different places. But in the Beis HaMikdash, that does not seem to be necessary. I thought you were going to say, you know, modern technology, a person who builds a virtual Beis HaMikdash. And that wouldn't work. That would not work. Number four, the Rambam tells you what he holds really does make a difference, and that's the basic layout. This is the essence of the Mikdash. It has to have a Kodesh Kodashim, and a hallway in front of the Kodesh. That total area is called the Heichal. Let's do a layout in our minds. On the top, let's draw the Kodesh. That's the innermost chamber. That's where the Aron that held the Luchos, or the Sefer Torah, that's where that was kept. That's a small chamber. There's a larger area that had the menorah, the shulchan, the mizbeach, that was still very private, but the Kohanim would go there to do the service, as opposed to the Kodesh Kadashim, that innermost chamber that they only went in, only the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, and only on Yom Kippur. And then there was this hallway in the front, and he says that entire area was called the Heichal. Then there's an enclosure, which a larger area called the courtyard. And if you have those basically four items he itemized, then it's called the structure of the Mikdash. And then you just have to fill it in with the various kalim, the vessels. You have to go ahead and build the menorah now. But in terms of structure, that's the structure, very simple. Now, we all know, especially in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a lot more that they did. They had rooms within rooms and very sophisticated. But he says that's not the essence of the Beis HaMikdash.
What utensils Kodesh contained that were... I mean, Kodesh Kodeshim is within Kodesh, in that area that is belonging only to Kodesh. Were there vessels?
The Kodesh Kodeshim, the innermost chamber, only had the Aron.
I see.
The Kodesh had the menorah, the shulchan, okay, and the mizbeach. Now, in Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash, they had other things in addition. He added menorahs. He had more menorahs than just the one. There does seem to be considerable liberty. How much of that has to be according to prophecy specifically? How much of that is liberty that we allow you? You know, each artisan... I don't think that they asked, you know, when I put on the gold leaf, can I just make it beautiful, or do I have to ask the prophet? You know, a certain amount was guided by the prophet. A certain amount was, you know, make it, put your heart and soul into it. It should be as beautiful as possible. So, a certain amount, yes, a certain amount, no. But the basics is that there has to be this structure, Kodesh, Kodesh Kodashim, Ulam, and then Nazara, a courtyard, going all around. Let's go into the next section, the concept of history. Number five, I wanted to start this with a quote from the Chumash to illustrate that there would be a concept of a Beis HaMikdash once they entered the land, that the Mishkan wasn't the end of this concept called sanctuary. Number five, you will cross over the Jordan, you will settle in the land that Hashem will grant you. He will give you rest from your enemies, and you will dwell securely. It will be that the place that Hashem chooses to dwell, there shall be the place where you will bring your offerings. And the pasuk continues and describes that you're going to have to build a place for your offerings. Now, the basic indication here is that there will be a sanctuary in a specified place in the land of Israel.
Is this talking about the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan?
Beis HaMikdash. Because it's going to be the place that Hashem chooses to dwell there. It's going to be a designated place. And that's going to end up being Yerushalayim, which was guided by the prophet as to exactly which place. Now, that's the basic import of this quote. But there's another tremendous insight over here. And that is, when is the proper time to build the Beis HaMikdash? There's like almost a criteria.
When you don't have the enemies.
When you don't have the enemies. You have some mitzvahs that the mitzvah is to do even if it's under duress. That's one concept. And there's another type of mitzvah that the mitzvah is to do it, Beis HaMikdash. V'yishavtem betach, you're secure, and then you go ahead and build the Beis HaMikdash. David wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, and one of the things he was told was, you are not yet the era of dwelling securely. You're still busy with your armies and your battles and protection and defense and attacks. And it's not, Shlomo is the ish menucha, is the person of serenity. And he's the one who builds the Beis HaMikdash. It's almost like we have mitzvah observance generally under all circumstances, but the Beis HaMikdash is a crowning glory over everything. And you can only reach that point when you have reached a level of feeling secure, and then you go ahead and now you build a Beis HaMikdash. It's not typically something that was done under duress. Yeah.
Time of security and also time of prosperity as well, or not?
It does not seem that prosperity is critical, because the Rambam writes, if the generation is poor,
that's why I was going.
He doesn't seem to have trouble with that.
Okay.
Not only that, but the second Beis HaMikdash, the description of Nehemiah, is that they still had tribes, Jewish, not Jewish, but tribes in Israel that were objecting, and they were attacking. And he describes it that we were working with one hand and holding our defense tools in the other hand. And that's how we worked, that they would attack. Again, you have to have guidance of a prophet to figure out what the critic... Just because there's one naysayer or one tribe of naysayers, even if they make your life tough, doesn't mean that it's not the era to build the Beis HaMikdash. So that's a little delicate, but there is a philosophy there. V'yishavtem betach, the enemies should not be, you know, causing you the constant pressure, and then you can build the Beis HaMikdash.
Is it only in Jerusalem and Israel, or is it globally secure from the enemies?
That's a very good question. We will have to wait and see.
Okay.
But at the moment, the way the Jewish world is configured, it's basically the same thing. The enemies of the Jews seem to be most vocal regarding Israel. And they seem to show their faces regarding Israel. So at this point, it should be fairly clear to see whether we're in messianic times or not. It's like the die was cast. It's you know, open. The Jews are not incognito. There's a Jewish state. So we're watching. You know, Hamas in charge of that region didn't help anything. You know, if anything, it makes the showdown that much more noticeable.
Besides David's peccadilloes, that was one reason why he wasn't allowed to build the Beit HaMikdash. But was the situation more secure under Shlomo?
Yes.
Okay, so that's one of the reasons that he could do that, because it was...
Yeah, the reason that David couldn't, the different commentaries in the Farshim give many different reasons, but one of the things, and the way it's described in Shmuel Beis, is that David looked at the Mishkan at the time, and the Aron was being housed in curtains, and David's expression is, I'm sitting in a palace of cedar wood, and the Aron is still in its cloth, tent-like structure. Wouldn't it be proper for me to go ahead and build the Beis HaMikdash? And the prophet comes to him and tells him, not yet. But even David's perception was, now that we're settled, it's time to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's the way the mitzvah was understood. Otherwise, we would say, oh no, you're supposed to be altruistic. You're supposed to build the Beis HaMikdash first, and then go ahead and build your own home, maybe. Until then, live in tents. But the Beis HaMikdash is a unique mitzvah. It doesn't seem to go that way. First, the people are supposed to be settled, and then they can go ahead and build this Beis HaMikdash, I guess because we're humans. You build the Beis HaMikdash with a full heart once you feel that a certain breakthrough of serenity has been achieved.